Amen, amen. That's good, isn't it? Amen. I like all the singing, and we've had a wonderful time here with y'all. I mean, the banquet, the services, the singing, everything. Like I said, I love church, and I love being in church. I like being in a place that likes church. Amen? Don't you? I mean, that's just how I am. I can get into Well, to tell you the truth, I know you. It's probably not right. I don't do it very often, and it scares my church if I ever do. But, man, you'd have a running fit. Amen? This could give you a running fit. I like it. I mean, this is good stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but thank you for just showering us with blessing and with all the things that you give to us. Good night. We got so much stuff in that room. I told my wife we're going to have to hole up for a couple days just to eat it all. And then we're going to be sick because we ate it all. But thank you so much. Like I said, it's such a blessing. We pray for this church down here. We do. We pray for you all up there. We've some of your missionaries we get to help support and get to be a part of. Got to be with some of your folks. Was with Brother John Teeter last fall. And, man, just a good brother. Amen? And it was a lot of fun being with him and enjoyed the services at that church there. And so, and I much appreciate your pastor and his wife. I really do. They've just always considered him a friend. I know, like, so we don't spend much time together. I hope we're friends, but I consider him a friend. And always, every time I meet your pastor, now you mark this down. It's a good thing. I being a pastor, I work on trying to be that friendly person. I mean, because you got to work on it. You deal with so many people. Sometimes you can get I hate to say irritated. I don't know what the word is, but sometimes it can really make you not have a good attitude. But every time I see your pastor out, whether it be 8 hours away or whether it be at a preacher's meeting or something, he always greets me with a smile and with a positive, you know, type affirmation that just really encourages me. And I want to thank you for that, preacher. I really do. That means a lot to us younger preachers down here, amen, just out there. And so praise the Lord for that. But thank you so much for this. Well, let's get into the Word of God tonight. I know I've got a big challenge ahead of me. Because we've got a dessert fellowship afterwards. So I know what you're thinking. 15 minutes, let's get to the sweets. But let's see where we go from here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. We're going to read a passage here. We'll pray. We'll go to another passage over in Colossians after you sit down, read that. And then we'll go to the main place where we're going to stay the evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." Now, Father, thank you so much for tonight, and I pray that you'd help us to Father, to be focused, be faithful and be focused. And Lord, that you'd get all the glory for it. Have your way in this. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill this place. Lord, help every one of us to be arrested to your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, if you would, to hold your place there, and like I said, we're just going to spend just a couple minutes in this particular place. But I want you to see a principle here or a characteristic that we should desire. And then I want to take over and show how this characteristic is a blessing. Now, Colossians chapter 3, go to verse 1. I know very familiar with these two passages, but it says this: "If ye then be risen with Christ," it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, we see in these two passages, just straightforward, just and I know I pulled three verses out of one, and two out of another, but understand this: these chapters, the 1 Corinthians, Colossians, the books of the Bible, they are there for our benefit. They are there for us to understand. I mean, it's His story. Amen. Oh, I wish they'd teach history in school again. Amen? His story. Not the world's story, not His story. Amen? The one that sits at the right hand of the Father. His story. I like that, but this is why it's here. But here he says this about man, the Apostle Paul, who through the power of the Holy Spirit gives us in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 4, says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I hope that everybody here has some degree or some attitude of striving to be a wise steward or to be a faithful steward to God. Amen. I mean, it shouldn't be questioned whether or not that you're going to be faithful. I mean, God should be able to count on you. Your pastor should be able to count on you. Amen. Your spouse ought to be able to count on you. Your kids ought to be able to count on you. Amen. Fellow church members ought to be able to count on you. You don't know how much of a letdown it is when you're not in your spot. I'm not talking just to the pastor. I'm talking to everybody else. Well, and it's always there's a question. Now, I don't want there to be any question about how faithful I am to God. Amen. I want to be known, hey, I love the Lord. You know, if people come in looking for Christians, I want them to be able to come to my house. I do. I want them to know, hey, go to that house. If the government comes in and starts looking for that kind of stuff, that could happen. It's happened around the world. You've got to face that. I'd hate for them to skip over my house and say, well, we don't know. Well, amen? Wouldn't that be a sorry testimony? So, oh no, that one. That one's nuts. That one right there. Amen? No doubt about it. I mean, they skip everybody else's house in town, go to that one. So we see the first thing of this is being faithful. Now, go with me to Colossians over there, back over there, and look at verse number 1. If you then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It saith on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I love this passage because it's really clear to me what it says. Be focused. Be focused. This scatterbrained idea that we got going on calling it faith is nothing to do with faith. You know, looking here, looking there, and then God comes up inside the middle somewhere. Oh, no. No, be focused. Focus on God. He even says, I mean, God, he commands us here, set your affections on things above. Set it right there where Christ sits on the right hand of God. In other words, be focused on the Word of God. Amen? Isn't that who He is? Focus there. So the two things I want you to see is we are to be faithful and focused. That's the two things that as Christians, if we want to be Christians, you want to be who you're supposed to be before God, we're to be faithful, we're to be focused. Now go with me over to Joshua chapter 1. You don't have to hold your place there. Joshua chapter 1. Now the book of Joshua is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And the Joshua chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters. I enjoy Joshua chapter 1. And I enjoy every time God lets me go preach over here at this particular place. I don't know if it's because I like a good fight or what, but I just know this. It's exciting to me to see God move in such a magnificent way. And you say, we can see that throughout the Bible. I know, I said it was for me. Amen? This is where I like it. I like preaching here. But we're to be faithful and focused no matter what things look like, ahead, behind, left, or right of us. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. If the world decides to turn backwards, we're supposed to be faithful and focused. Let us strive towards these two things of being faithful and focused, and all other things will fall into place. I found as pastor, and I've only pastored a little over 20 years, this, that if a person can be faithful to God and focused on Him, you know, that person can do about anything, and you can work with them. They can get the Great Commission fulfilled. They can see the church go forward. They're a good soldier, one that's faithful and focused. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to take off and run through here because we're going to cover, and I do know we've got dessert coming. You don't have to remind me. Don't stand up and say, you know, I got a sweet tooth. Nothing like that. We're going to cover about 6 chapters in Joshua here, but we're going to do it quickly and we're going to do it specifically because I want to encourage you tonight. I really want to be encouraged. I know you say, preacher, I don't know if you want to be encouragement or not. No, I want to encourage you tonight. I want to show you something that'll help you because in times like these, sometimes we get to the place where, you know, we get to thinking, Well, there's a whole lot of pressure. And there's a whole lot of stress. And there's a whole lot of people that are openly not liking those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know about you, but I feel the stress. I feel the issues going on in the world. We see it rising to the top of how Christ is not looked upon the way He should be looked upon. And those that follow Him are looked to be enemies. Amen? We're feeling that. I want to encourage you tonight. So please stay with me as we walk down through this. And I want to show you a people faithful and focused. Now stay all the way through. Don't go to sleep halfway through because you'll wake up going, man, that guy, I don't even care for any of that. Don't do that. Stay all the way through. Stay locked in. And let's walk through this, because the two things that we need to be as Christians or as those that love God, that want to walk by His Word, is faithful and focused. Now, Joshua chapter 1, we see here that we have a people that are faithful and focused. Now, look at this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1, I'm just going to read a few verses. I could read the whole chapter, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. In my notes, I have it that we read the whole chapter because I like it, but then I got to realize, and that's just a personal preference, amen? But it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people in the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, we could go on, and a lot of it is wonderful. He tells him not to have this book of the law depart out of his mouth. He tells him to meditate on it day and night. Amen. And he says that you'll have good success if you do that. Now, I want to tell you, God's Word is right. I mean, it's deep. I know that's a deep statement, but I'm just telling you, God's Word's right. If you do this, you do have good success. I'm tired of the world telling us that we're the failures. That's not the truth. You want to have good success, follow the Word of God. The Bible here tells him that we got a people that's faithful and focused. God gives Joshua this passage. He gives us this commandment. He gives these marching orders to him. And then now we have the people, because Joshua calls them together in verse number 10. Joshua commanded officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. In other words, he says, get them ready, prepare them. He tells them that the Reubenites and the Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh, the ones that wasn't going to go in, they took land outside the promised land. They took it on the other side of Jordan. They liked it over there. Don't know why. Not going to debate that tonight, but I'll tell you this much, that they took it over there. He even told them, he says, get ready. He says, all these, we got this job to do. We're going to go in and take this land because God's given us this land. He told us, go take it. They said, okay. They said, we will do it. Well, look, it says this in verse number 16, and they answered Joshua. He says, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against that thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. That seems pretty focused. Amen? I don't know about you, but I can see where they've got a job, they see it, and that's a whole lot different than the first group. Amen? The folks that they had, their parents, the ones that was before them, you know, they come up, they said, we can't do this. And I know I'm giving you a paraphrase, quick analogy of it, but they said, we can't go in this promised land. They're too big, they're too mighty, we're too small. Ain't no way we can go in there. They was looking at something totally different. Their focus was on something else, wasn't it? Their focus wasn't on the Lord. They wasn't on God. But these folks, these here, and Joshua and Caleb are the two, amen, that they get to go in with them. They're still here. They're leading the way. I mean, obviously Joshua has took the place of Moses in leading and commanding this whole entire nation of Israel, these people, and they said, we'll follow you. We'll do it. You stay with the Word of God, we'll stay with you. What they said. Anybody that doesn't, well, it's not going to go well for them. What it said. They said, you just be strong and of good courage. You ever walked to your pastor and said, man, I'm with you. Be strong, good courage. Charge forward. Follow that book, I'll follow you. Amen. I'm not saying your pastor's Joshua. Because there's only one Joshua. There's only one Pastor Merrick. But have you ever done that? Walked up and said, you be strong, good courage. Meditate on that book. I'm with you. You know he does. Right? Question would be whether he believes you or not. Right? You might have to prove yourself. A lot of people say that to me. Oh, yeah, I'm with you, I'm with you. Things get rough, I can't find them. You know, somebody wanting to beat you up and you're sitting there looking for help. They're not even around. Right? Amen? I mean, we've lost that. I'm not saying worship a man by no means. Worship God. But he's put some structure in your life. That structure goes through the pastor. Well, not saying that just because I'm a pastor. There's some people I don't really want to stand with. Amen. You say you don't love the folks you're... No, but there's some that you got to work through so much garbage and trash and all this, like walking through, you know, a landfill. But you go with them. You stay there. You help them. Right? Stand with them. That's what they said. I mean, look what Joshua had been through. He took 40 years, watched them all die off. And then Moses, the one he was super close to, I mean, he was faithful. Joshua was a faithful man. Moses' minister. Then all of a sudden you see him. He's gone. Now Moses, or Joshua stands there seemingly by himself. He knew God was with him. I'm not questioning that, but he stood there. But these people stood up and said, Joshua, we're going to be faithful and we're going to be focused. I love the focus that's in Joshua chapter 1 by these people. Now here it starts out. Look at this. Now, Joshua, we got to see the first thing I want you to see. I'm going to give you seven things. They'll go quick, so don't get scared. I'm going to give you seven things here to show you the faithfulness and focused people here in Israel. How this group was a unique group and a wonderful, wonderful group of people. In Joshua chapter 2, look at this. Go to verse 23. It says this. It says, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, even for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. He said, yeah, they come back and they told him, they went out and spied. You know, these two, a little different than the 12 that went out before, amen. They come back and said, it's ours. I mean, the Lord's got it to us. True, the Lord had delivered into our hands all of the land. He said, God's already given us the victory. Faithful to God's word. Notice what they said. God's already gave us the victory. See, that's what they've been told. That's what they've been shown. That's what they'd said that Moses, that's what Joshua had told them that God said. It was already theirs. This is God's word on the matter. So they already had given the victory. And notice this. Look at the focus. They're well able to take the land. Verse 24, it says, and they said, truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. It's not that we're grasshoppers. It's not that we're overpowered. It's not that the land's so big it's going to swallow us up. It said, it's already ours. They're focused. It says, God's already given us the victory, and we're well able to take this land. They're faithful. God said it. And they're focused. It's our land. Look at the second thing. Joshua chapter 3. Go to verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. Excuse me. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that it is beside Zartan, and there, those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right, right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground unto all the people were passed clean over Jordan. We see another faithful and focused part. We see here this group that there was no obstacles for them. I don't know if you've ever been around a flooded river or not. I used to live right off Platte River in Agency, Missouri. It's a little town. All it was noted for was flooding. Amen? Really, in 93, my mom and dad's house, we've docked our boat at the back of our house before. Amen? Because it flooded. And we take that boat one time. I remember going out, and we got out to where the river channel was at. That river channel was running so violently, we didn't even get within 100 yards of it. It was so torrent. It had flooded probably 2 miles out up to our house, but it was just this raging river, and we stayed plumb away from it because, boy, it was all kinds of junk and stuff flowing up, you know, and it was a violent scene to watch this flow underneath this bridge and down this river. And here we see that these children of Israel, they come up to this Jordan River. It's at flood stage. It's impassable. They can't do this. I mean, this thing is, I mean, we get the idea that it's a serene little lake. You know, amen? Because when you see a picture, the thing's not ripping everything else off the page when it shows this. But this thing is violently moving, and the floodwaters have extended the banks so much that you have a channel way out there and you have a floodwater way back here. It's not like you walk up to a rippling brook going, "Oh, how beautiful, and look at the trout." That's not how this is. This is a raging river that it would scare most of us. You'd be sitting there watching the kids, if you had kids, going, "Now stay back!" Because you know if they hit in this, they're gone. It's over. Well, here they come up to this, and here's these priests, and they're bearing this ark. You know, you got four of them, one on each corner. They're bearing the ark, and they walk up here. And notice this. Now, folks, you got to get this. You got to understand this. They've got to get their feet wet. You notice they stepped into the brim of the water. That thing, they're walking up to the edge of it, and that thing is raging, like I said. They've got the floodwaters out here, and they've got to step in. Amen. It's what it says. I'm just going by what the Bible says now. They've got to step in, and they do. What a faithful. I believe, as you say, well, there's just four of them on that ark. I understand, but I believe they represented the whole character. Because they stepped in. They stepped into that water, they had this. There's no obstacle for us. We follow God. I mean, they in verse 14, "And it came to pass when on chapter 3, people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people." They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They come up and they bear the ark, were come up to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. And he makes point to tell us it was overflowed, the banks, all the time of harvest. It was overflowed all out everywhere. And they walked up to that, and they had that ark. And they stepped in. They went over the edge, didn't they? They stepped in. They had no obstacles. They were following God's word. It said, "That's our land. That's where we belong." And by the way, the promised land is the victorious Christian life, man. I don't believe it's heaven. Amen. I know there's a lot of songs out there that talk about that. I don't believe every song I hear. Amen. But I'm telling you this, I believe it's a victorious Christian life. You walk into that, that's where the victories that you have, that you face in your life, that's where they're won. And we see the focus of these people walking in. They stepped up to that flooded land. Their feet got wet. See, the faithfulness is this. They understood there's no obstacles for us. It doesn't matter what it is. There's no obstacles. Let me ask you something real quick. Just stopping here just a second. What's going to keep you from heaven if you're saved? Yeah. We act like everything's going to. Amen? Well, I don't know. By no means am I criticizing anybody that's fearful of COVID. Don't get me wrong. I believe in respecting that, doing what you got to do, following your pastor's lead and on the church and all that, no doubt about it. But come on. Is that going to keep you out of heaven? It might help you get there. Amen? I'm not making fun of it. It's just the truth, isn't it? So could anything else? I mean, you could get, Ebola or something. Think of one of them diseases, you know, not common around here, praise God. But do you know what I mean? Think about it. How focused? These folks were focused. They said, that's our land. God's give it to us. The Word of God says that's our land. So we're going. And they stepped into that water. Look at this. And though there's no obstacles before them, they follow God. Their feet got wet for a moment. Just for a moment. Look at this, Joshua 4. Go to chapter 4, verse number 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God. Now you got to understand, the ark's out in the middle. It's standing there, the water stacked up. This is incredible. Can you imagine? I love thinking about kids. Don't you? I've got an imagination. I like to use it. You just got to be careful. Don't get away from you. But can you imagine the kids going by? Amen? When's the last time the kids did that at church? Amen? Can you imagine walking by and the water's all stacked up? Mom slaps them back of the head. Come on, pay attention. Let's get across here. Amen? Well, I mean, I don't know how you was raised, but my mom watches my Facebook feed of my preaching back home, so I got to be careful what I say. Down here, I don't think she watches this. I'm good. But understand this. Here in verse number 5 of chapter 4, Joshua says unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of Jordan, and take up you every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Excuse me. Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests were bare, where priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now, this is amazing, because here's the water stacked up, you know, and they're standing out there with this, and Joshua says, hey, you know what we need? We need 12 stones over there, and we need 12 stones out here. The water's stacked up. I can't get over the character of these people. How faithful they are. You know, I mean, Joshua comes out and says, stand still a little bit longer. God's told us to mark this thing. Our kids in the generation to come are going to need to know this, because it's going to get tough. They're going to face some things. And they're going to ask, what's them stones? And we're going to tell them what the stones are. And they're going to remember back, because we told them what happened. They remember we got a faithful God. Amen. Amen. He said, just hang on a little longer. Stay right here. I don't think they were scared at all too much. And I said, okay. If we perish, we perish. And we read that somewhere. But and he's standing there. And here goes. These people grabbing stones, these men, 12 stones here, 12 stones there, and they mark the place. See, these folks are faithful and focused. Why? Faithful to make sure the generations to come know who did this. To know who put this together. You know one of the problems in America? These generations don't know who made this country. Who put it together. We've moved the stones. We've let them. Amen. We've got remnant stones now. Pieces and things laying around. But they made sure, these faithful folks, they said, make sure generations know it. Put it together. And they marked it. They marked it by God's word. God said do this. In verse 8 and 9, he says, and the children of Israel took up the stones as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua. They followed God's word. He said, mark this thing. Faithful and focused. Faithful and focused. Look at this. Joshua chapter 5. Go to verse 5. Chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And verse number 3. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt. They were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now look at verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Now understand this. We'll not go into grave detail on this, so don't worry. But I want you to understand something. That was a physical procedure that laid a person up, laid a man of war up many days. But they had the mark of Egypt because they wasn't doing what God told them to do in Egypt to their children, to their male children. They wasn't doing it. And so they had this reproach of the world upon them. They took on some worldly practices that they shouldn't have had. And now God comes to them and says, before you can have this land, before you can live in my land, before you can live in my victory, I want you to cut away the things of the flesh. You got something to do. Now you got to think about this. This is wild to me. These soldiers, these men of war, they're over there, they're getting ready to fight. I mean, they're getting ready for battle. This wasn't the time to be injured. This wasn't time to be down. This wasn't time to have to heal up from something. They had come into the enemy's land. They had come into that land, and them people knew they was there, and those people knew what they was coming for. And they were standing there now. They was on the enemy soil. They was on the other side. And Joshua says, wait a minute. We're going to make you vulnerable. Now that's what Joshua did. That's not what he told them, but that's what he was saying. You're going to have to heal up for a while. Well, wait a minute, Joshua. We're on this side of Jordan. We're in the enemy's territory. We're in a place where we can't do this. How in the world? I mean, we've got to defend ourselves. No. Got to get the world off of you first. And they did. I can't believe how focused they followed God's word for faithfulness. Joshua said, this is what needs to be done. And they said, we'll do it. And their focus was, we'll cut away the flesh of the world. We'll cut away that the world has on us. We don't want nothing to do with the world. We want everything to do with God and His victorious living and His place and where He's at. And we want our homes. We want our homes in God's land and in God's word. And we want our kids to know who God is and serve Him with all their heart. Amen. You say, oh, I don't know. Look at the intensity of this. I have so much respect, I guess you'd call it, for this second group, this children of Israel that come in. What they've done, how they faced adversity. Faithful and focused. Faithful and focused. They followed God's word. And they cut away. They were so focused, they didn't want the world there. They said, no, if that's part of the world, we don't want it. Look at this, Joshua chapter 5. Go on over. Joshua chapter 5, go to verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto this his servant? Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Notice here, Joshua stood faithful to the cause. You see him? He amazes me. Old boy steps out, this fellow. Now, I want you to understand something. This was God. This was my belief. This is what I understand. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him. This is God, the Son of God. Amen. And here's Joshua. Now, pay attention to this. Joshua's out there by himself, I believe in meditation. And this guy steps out, and Joshua, he doesn't run away from him. He doesn't know exactly who he is. I believe Joshua puts his hand on his sword and says, "You for us or against us? Where are you at?" Amen. Said, "You for us or against us? We're not here. We've come a long way. We won't be faithful." He's faithful to the cause. He's faithful to what they've got going. I love to see this faithfulness. Now, when he found out who it was, he fell on his face. He said, "Whoa, okay." You know why? He's focused. He's focused. God gave him a job to do, and he's going to do it, or he's going to die trying. Amen. I'm not giving up any ground. I'm not falling back. Who are you for? And he said that he was the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua immediately knew who that was. I love it that Joshua knew who it was. Amen? He knew him. He fell on his face and he worshiped him. He said, "Whoa." He said, "Take your shoe off." Joshua took his shoe off. I mean, this is the commander of God's people. This is the commander of a great army that's going to do great and mighty things. Already did great and mighty things. Faithful and focused. Joshua stood faithful to the cause, but he was focused on God, so he knew God's presence. Amen. He wasn't just some half-crazed person that was out there, "Oh, we got a cause, and doing things that's foolish. Oh, no. He was focused. He was faithful to God, but he was so focused he knew who God was. He knew when God spoke. Now look at this. Joshua chapter 6. We're just about done. Remember I told you 7? This is number 6, and 7's quick. Joshua chapter 6. I don't know about you, but this tastes awful sweet to me. Amen. I love this. I know that the dessert thing coming up is going to be awful sweet too, but this is neat. I love this. Amen. It's all right to love the Word of God. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, verse 8. "And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpet, and he and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout.'" Now, go to verse 15. "And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, 'Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it.'" Notice here, he says, this is the great strategy. And I know you've heard this preached before. I'm not going to try to preach it again, but wasn't it a wild strategy? Here's Jericho. They got it conquered. It's a great walled city. It's a massive city. It's well able to withstand an attack from the children of Israel. It's well able. It's well fortified. It can't handle it. The children of Israel couldn't handle that by themselves. Joshua says, "Got a plan? Lord, give it to me. I want you to go out there. We're going to walk around this thing. Be quiet. One time every day, 6 days, 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. We're going to go out there, walk around 7 times. 7th time around, we're going to shout." Now, I don't know about you. I like shouting for the Lord. Amen. I don't believe in all the, you know, work it up type of stuff. But sometimes God's just so good, I like to shout. Amen. You started singing about His face, seeing Him face to face here a little bit ago. We sung that song. You know, that's one thing I'm looking forward to in heaven. I want to see what He looks like. I want to look on my Savior. Amen? I want to see Him. You say, "Preacher, that's pretty superficial." I don't know. He's the only one done everything for me. I want to see Him. I know probably for the first, you know, several thousand years, maybe we'll probably be on our face worshiping Him because He's worthy. You know, But I believe he's going to let us see him. Let us behold him. But they told him, Joshua said, no, you folks, this is how we're going to do it. Can you imagine some of them soldiers? They've been building up all this time. And their focus was going there and win this fight. And he says, well, we're just going to march. 7 days we're going to march, and then we're going to shout. That's odd. Your preacher ever ask you to do anything odd? I'm not talking outside the scripture. I'm just talking, sound odd to you. Well, why would we do that? Amen. I remember we was in Bethany and God burdened our heart. Have an extra long meeting. Now, by no means am I encouraging you to do this, and I'm not trying to influence your pastor to do this. I'll tell you right now, the church I pastor right now, we're not ready to do this, and I've told them we're not ready to do this. We was in Bethany. We had a 7-week meeting. I went to the men and I told them, I said, I believe the Lord have a 6-week meeting. They said, 6 weeks, really? I said, yeah, 6 weeks. I said, I want you to pray about it. We'll come back together and talk about it. Now, this is a young church. These folks, some of them hadn't been in church very long. We'd won them to the Lord, you know, and trained them, but they hadn't heard nothing like this. Used to be, you know, you had long meetings. That's just how it is in our church. When I say that, nobody says amen. Amen, right there. That's exactly how it is. We did 6 weeks. Lined it all up. Long story short is this. We come back. They said, we had this one evangelist that we always had in August, and we wanted to have him again. They said, well, if we do this, we can't have him. That'll only be 6 weeks. They said, preacher, we think you ought to do 7. I said, you really better think about it. I said, you're going to be in church for a long time. They said, no, we really believe it's what God wants. I said, well, I do too. I wouldn't have brought it to you. We planned to do it. We did it. Started in July, man, went into the middle of August. 7 weeks. Now, folks, I'm not trying to make anything more than what it is. We saw so many teenagers come to Christ. And their parents come to Christ. They was bringing them in and dropping off saying, is this? We had one little girl that got saved up in the high school. She was a real popular gal, I guess. And they'd ask, is this where Lindsay goes to church? Yeah. Can we drop our son off and we'll come back and pick him up? That was the second week. Third week, they was bringing them. We saw over 25 teenagers come to Christ across that 7 weeks. And that's not counting their parents. That's not counting the ones younger than teenagers. I'm not trying to glorify anything. We haven't done it since. I'm not going to tell you that there's something. But that was extremely odd. That was extremely odd. But I thank God for faithful men and women. And you want to know something? We had the best attendance across there. People didn't miss. You know, they were scared to. They're afraid he's going to miss something to talk about. Amen. We had people come from the community that come in and looked at it and want to know, just know what was going on. Some of them got too close, got saved. Amen. But I'm just telling you. And like I said, I'm not trying to influence you to have that. I believe that's something you got to pray about. And like I said, haven't done it since. Been pastoring for over 20 years and haven't done that again. The Lord hadn't given us wisdom or peace to do it. Now, would you like to do it? Oh, I think I'd love to do it. I love church. I love this. Well, look at this. We've got to move on. This odd thing that they said do. And they did what was odd to everyone, even themselves. Even, can't you imagine the people at Jericho, those soldiers on the wall, would look down and think, this is odd. What's going on? They were so faithful that God said, I want this military strategy to carry out that's weird. I want you to do it. Because it is weird to the world. The things that God has us do here, a lot of it is odd to the world. I'm glad it's odd to the world. I don't want to be worldly. I don't want to be like that. They were so focused. They was faithful. They did it. They did what was odd to everyone else and even themselves. And they didn't change a step. They didn't change one part of it. They went 6 days. The seventh day, they shouted. They took the city of Jericho. You know what else happened? And I am going to bring this up, but somebody took something in there, didn't he? Achan took a Babylonish garment, a wedge of gold, some silver. Amen. Remember, you that study your Bible, you know that. Those people were so faithful, they did exactly what Joshua said do in dealing with him. Because God said, the Word of God said, don't do it. Achan did it. And the people were so focused, Joshua says, hey, you got to take care of this. And they did. Well, that's six things of being faithful and focused. Let me give you the seventh thing now. We're done. We'll be done. I like this one. They won. They won. Look at verse 21. Joshua chapter 6, verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. They won. Faithful and focused, and they won. How faithful are you tonight? Say, preacher, I'm not even sure if I know Christ as Savior. I've just been questioning. Oh, you got to come get that handled. You got to come get that settled, because there's no way you can get in on any of this without being saved and knowing that you're saved. You've got to have that. So tonight you're sitting here and you're saying, oh, this is so wonderful. I love this. Oh, I want in. Well, you're going to have to know that your Bible's saved. As your preacher said before, he'd love to have somebody or himself take the word and just show you. Get it settled. You need to come. All you are that are saved. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you're not a member of this church, but God wants you in. Maybe you don't understand. Well, it's time to come and get understanding. Be faithful and focused. Get in. Maybe you're here, you're saved, and you are a member of this church. But your faithfulness and focus has been swerved or has been changed or has a little bit of variance in it right now. Because maybe the things are going on around us. Be a good night. Come put your face in this altar and say, oh God, just you. You. I'm going to be faithful and focused to you. Forgive me for any variance, but I want to live the victorious Christian life. I want to live close to you. I want to follow you. And I'm dedicating my life to it. Don't play around with God. You're serious about that, you do it. I guarantee you got a preacher and staff here that will help you do it. You're not going to stand alone. But it's up to you to make that decision. Nobody else. It's up to you. Nobody else. Will you be faithful and focused? Because the outcome is tremendous. And I want to tell you, we win. We win. I guarantee you, you're faithful and focused here when we stand in heaven. If you're saved, you're going to. Oh, the victory. Oh, the glory. But here's a greater thing than that. He lets us have it here. When you stand and you say, whoa. Look at the family. Look at the kids. Look at these things. Faithful and focused. Faithful and focused. Will you commit to that tonight? Let's stand.